while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Now, as Pastor Deji asked me to share today or to preach, praise God, I went on my knees and I prayed, and I could hear but one word, and that is intimacy. And the Lord impressed this word on my heart. And the more I prayed, the more he said, intimacy. My desire is to have intimacy with my people. And so he shared this word with me from the book of Psalms 46. But before we rush to Psalms 46, I would like to read from the book of Revelations, chapter 4. So if you wish to do so, if you have your Bibles with you, you may turn to the book of Revelations chapter 4, Revelations chapter 4 and chapter 5, I will read. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance, like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open this, its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and a thousand of thousands, saying with a very loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. And every living creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever and ever. Amen. The theme for today's service is "Speak, Lord, we are listening." Amen? And the key scripture that the Lord laid on my heart is, "Be still and know that I am God." And it's from the book of Psalms 46, verse 10. So can we please put up the scripture, or if you have your Bible and you like to join me in the book of Psalms, chapter 46. And thank you, Louise, for leading the first half of the service so beautifully, and for creating the time for us to really acknowledge each other, fellowship, and pray. That was also laid on my heart, and I will skip that part. And I just thank God, because I sat there and I thought, God, you are truly one. Amen. So Psalms 46, God is good, amen. Psalms 46. Now before I read, as we read that chapter from the two chapters from Revelation, it's a full picture of what we participate in every time we decide to set time aside to spend with God. It gives us a picture of what we are a part of as children of God. For the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, amen? And the Bible tells us that there is no status given to anyone higher than his. For the Father said to him, "Sit at my right hand," amen? And the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, repeatedly tells us that all honor, all glory, all power, all praise has been given to him. And the Lord desires for us to have intimacy with him, to come into that place, amen, where we are one with him. But what he does is, he doesn't draw us to heaven. He leaves his throne that is full of praise and honor and glory, amen, to come down in our midst, not just when we congregate, but also when we are alone at the midnight hour. He leaves his throne, amen, and he wants to spend time with us, to be intimate with us. Even when we are worried and going through, hallelujah, situations where we find ourselves drowning, he says, I will leave my throne and I want to be in your midst with you to comfort you and to spend time with you, to strengthen you, to empower you, to give you just a moment to have a glimpse of what it's like. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 46, verse 10. So, as Louise beautifully read earlier, I won't read the full chapter of Psalms 46, but I will highlight the introduction of this psalm, just to kind of give us context for what verse 10 is really speaking to us. So the psalm is introduced to us, and it is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Amen. And in the commentary that I read by Spurgeon, in regards to the Psalms 46, it is specifically highlighted that this psalm was not to be sang except by the most high-ranking, exceptional musicians and the most skillful musicians. Amen? And this highlights to us that this psalm was particularly of great importance in the time at which it was written. We see that by reading the full psalm that there is context shown to us that this psalm was written in a time of adversity, in a time of war. Amen? And for the most part, or for the first part of the psalm, it is written in the third person. Amen? Thank you. In the third person. But there is a part of this psalm, which is what we will be focusing on today, which is verse 10, where there is a turn or a switch made where the psalm is no longer written in the third person, but rather in the second person, where God exclusively addresses the children of Israel. And I read what it says. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Now, when we go up two verses, in verse 8, we clearly see it's written, come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes walls cease to the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. The children of Israel are being encouraged. Amen. But in verse 10, I find it very interesting that the Lord is speaking to them in the midst of war, but he asks them to be still. And when we look at the full context of the psalm, it gives us an idea of what perhaps God might be saying. The meaning of the word be still in its Hebraic meaning, when you look at it, is actually in contrary to the English meaning of the word. Not so much. Be still really means to stand, to rest, to be calm, to be silent. But in Hebrew, what the word actually means is to cease from striving, to die to self, to halt, to wait, or to regard. In its full context, if we contextualize it, it's actually saying to cease from your own effort. In the midst of war, The Lord is saying to the children of Israel, stop striving in your own strength, but rather rely on my strength and recognize who I am, what my capabilities are. Recognize who I am, the Lord God of battle, the one who made all things. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, it is highlighted there what life would have been like in heaven. The Bible tells us that the Lord planted a garden himself, and there was no need for Adam to tilt the ground or to struggle at all. The Lord tilted the ground and he planted trees, and as he planted the trees, he caused them to grow, and there were four rivers that flowed and watered the plants and the trees. And everything had a system by which it works. And God gave Adam only one job, to name the trees and the creatures. And I believe, this is my belief, right? Because nothing is indefinite, right? This is my belief, that God would have had Adam not striving because perhaps he wanted to have intimacy with him. He wanted Adam perhaps to be available at any time so that he could fellowship with him. Just like as parents, we hardly ever want our children to strive for things. We would have them focus on what we think they need to be focused on. Amen? I mean, no one sends their 4-year-old or 5-year-old or 12-year-old to work, right? You'd ask them to go to school and learn. And perhaps this is what God was doing with Adam. Go to the garden and learn about the plants. You name them as you wish, but learn about my creation. And maybe perhaps whilst you're learning, you would understand who I am, that I make great things. We went for a walk a couple of days ago, myself, Alan, and Sister Pauline, and... Oh God, no, let me clarify. Pastor Deji, there's been a running joke about Elder Andy, where we've been, sorry, Deacon Andy, where we've been calling him Alan Andy, and this has now come to bite me in the back. I apologize, Andy. Amen. Do you forgive me? I've learned my lesson not to to run jokes with the leaders. A very valuable lesson. But we went for a walk, and Deacon Evadne was there also. We went for a walk, and as we were walking, we were just looking at nature. And I was having a conversation with Andy, and I said, Andy, have you ever been in the midst of nature, far away from anything else, where you just, all you could see was trees for miles, and just nature for miles, and the city just seemed like it was far off? And he was telling me a story about how he went to the Amazon, and I said, I've tried that before. I haven't been to the Amazon, personally. I mean, I haven't been anywhere special like that, but I've been in the midst of trees and nature, and I've sat down and I've looked up and I've looked down, and just looking around, it's almost, nature is so wild that sometimes it makes you recognize just how small you are. And it causes you to kind of look outside of yourself and look up towards the sky. And as you do so, it's almost, I don't know, for me personally, it makes me marvel, because I think God made all of this. And he's the same God who calls me his child. He's the same God that desires to have intimacy with me. He is the same God that takes time out of his busy schedule to come and hear me speak, or to spend time with me, or to comfort me. He is the same God. And I want to believe in the garden, as Adam walked about, he was able to spend that time, because he sees there was no striving for him. He wasn't busy striving. He was busy looking at God's creation, appreciating God's creation. Amen? And I just wanted to highlight that to be still sometimes isn't about us ceasing from work or ceasing from doing things. It could also be that. But I believe it's also about us ceasing from striving in our own strength, almost like a break away from the norm. Being still can be a part of our everyday life. Amen? Because God doesn't only have to be in the secret place, but we can carry the secret place wherever we go. For the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I don't preach at you, church. This is actually something personal for me. For I have been striving. Amen? Don't we all strive? And it's God is saying, come, have intimacy with me. Let me show you something. The time of striving has passed. That curse that was upon Adam has passed. To tilt the ground. See, what was the curse? The curse was that he would tilt the ground, amen? And he would work hard for fruits. It was in his strength that he did all of this. That weight that he carried. But Christ came, and when he came, one of his main messages that he repeated was what? It was that we should cease from striving. Cease from striving. If you're heavy laden and burdened, come to me. And I will give you rest. He says, don't worry about anything. How you will eat, how you will drink. But what he's not saying is don't go to work. But what he's saying is don't worry. Lay your burdens at my feet. And I will take care of the rest. I will give a short testimony of a young lady who had been working at a workplace for about 7 years, and she's in her 30s, and she shared this online. And she said she'd been working in this place, and everything was going well, but she felt like it was time to move on. And so she began striving. She began trying to move forward with her life and not seeking God for his guidance, to see where he was leading her. And she said she work became such a strenuous exercise for her, getting up in the morning and getting to work, and she struggled. She struggled at work. She didn't want to be there. Suddenly, the people who sat around her, she couldn't stand. Personally, she didn't want to be there. And she said she had a conversation with someone who told her, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray about it? Take it to God. And so she decided to do so. And as she went on her knees, the Lord said to her, my grace has not left the workplace, but you have ceased to look to me. Well, these were not the words, but you stopped looking for me for strength. And now you're doing things in your own strength, and this is why you're finding it hard. And now that you're here with me, and I am here with you, I will encourage you. Believe in me. I have plans for you. Trust in me. In this place, and I will show you that I am with you. And after prayer, she said she felt so refreshed from the words of God. And as she went to work, it seemed like the workplace was completely different. Something had happened while she was being intimate with God. Something was different in the workplace. And her relationship with her colleagues seemed to change. Something had lifted. And she was doing her work with so much joy, but it didn't feel strenuous. Because why? Before she would work, she would pray, God, give me wisdom. God, how do I go about this? What do I do in this moment? She walked with God. And she said she was promoted in this place. And then it took her a while. So as she was giving her testimony, she said, it took me a while, but I realized that God would have me stay there so I could learn and meet certain people. And now she's in a better position because God then had spoken to her and told her, it is now time for you to move. And the thing is about us is that we are children of God. Just as we have children and we may have plans for them, God has plans for us. He says, be still and know. Don't just be still, but know. Amen. Don't just be still, but know. How can we know God? And last week, Alan so beautifully shared on love. And we have been speaking on love, platonic love, family love, how it should look for us as children of God. Love for one another as brethren, love for the world, amen? And we also heard about God's love for us. But as I was writing my sermon, the Lord spoke to me. He said, what about your love for me? And I began to remember there was a time when I spent time with God and I asked him, I remember I was reading Psalms and I was reading about David, and there was something that struck out to me, that David was a man after God's own heart. And I said, wow. And in that time I prayed and I said, God, what is on your heart? And as I was writing my sermon, I thought, God, what is your love language? What is your love language? What is your love language? Amen. Please, if you have your Bibles with you, let's just turn to the book of John, chapter 15. And in relationships, or other relationships, platonic relationship, friendships, you have your public interactions, but you also have your out-of-public interactions. I don't know about you, but I can't keep friendships or relationships. Well, Richard, I don't know if I could stay with you if you ignored me when you were alone or we were alone at home. That'd be a bit strange, wouldn't it? If you were outside with your loved one, or let's say your partner or a friend, and you know there were giggles and you know there was an exchange and you know you seemed okay, you interacted with one another, but as soon as you shut the door when you get home, it's almost a silence. And you're almost being ignored by the other person. You'd feel a certain way if it was like that. But sometimes we behave like that with God. We come to church and we clap and we're in his presence when we are together. But throughout the week, it seems as though his voice gets further and further and further and further until we come back on Sundays. And the Lord laid this on my heart, and when I was speaking to Andy, that this is what I meant by it felt heavy because it felt personal. I felt it. Not that I do this every week, but I'm human and it does happen sometimes where you get busy. You pray in the morning, you spend time with him, you have your morning devotion, but then as the day gets busy, you might get stressed and forget. It happens to the most of us. I don't know about you, but I know some of you are like, not to me. It happens to me. I have to put my hands up. And sometimes life gets in the way. But he is there constantly. But we seem to ignore him. And God is saying to us today, remember me. The war is not for you, for the Bible says it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, I will descend from my throne to be in your midst and to be with you and to hold your hand and to see you through. For I want to see you succeed and I want to see you elevated and I want to see you doing your best and I want to see you in that place where you're secure and you're okay. You know, there's another context to this Psalm 46. Some people have, there's some commentary where it suggests that the psalm is written to the enemies of the children of Israel, where God is perhaps saying to them, be still and know that I am God. Cease from fighting my people. And I subscribe to that also, that God does speak to the situations that we find ourselves in sometimes. Sometimes he requires us to speak to them. But I believe that often he does speak to the situations. But he's saying, I want intimacy with you. I want intimacy. I want to be close to you. I want to be the closest to you. I want to hold you. I want to love on you. Amen. John chapter 15, God's love language. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you cannot do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He says, abide in me and I in you. The greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. That is God's love language. To have fellowship with us. The purpose for which he came. To reconcile himself to us, that he might have fellowship. Where in our lives are we keeping God out? Where in our lives are we shutting him out? Is there anywhere where we are striving, where we are struggling? Where perhaps we can invite him in, or maybe perhaps we haven't invited him in fully. He's just there on Sundays and during devotion time, in the morning and in the evening. Let us reflect on this word. And I want us to think about the areas of our lives where we can perhaps invite him in just a little bit more. Have him come in just a little bit more. Do just a little bit more for us. Be with us. And not even just to do, but just to be with us. Amen? He says, I want to have intimacy with my people.
We trust that you've been blessed, and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.